and my Redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
I think just about every priest has a favorite passage of scripture or a passage that guides their ministry, and that's not just a priestly endeavor either. You're more than welcome to, and I hope you do have a passage that drives your own mission and ministry. 1 Corinthians 12, though, our epistle reading today, is certainly high on my list, if not at the top. Paul's writing is practical. I mean, that's the whole point of his letters. He's addressing real issues in real communities, and he's applying his knowledge and faith. He wants to impart his belief about how the followers of Jesus Christ should respond to the world. And that's exactly what we get in 1 Corinthians 12. Paul is telling us what kind of world God has created, and specifically about some of the gifts that God has placed into the world. Paul writes, "Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of services, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good." And he goes on to name some of these gifts: the gifts of faith, the gift of healing, utterance of wisdom, utterance of knowledge, miracles, tongues, interpretation. These are just some of what Paul calls the gift of the Spirit. And even though they are different, they are all activated, all part of the same Spirit, all gifts of God placed into the world for us to use. Paul will spend a large portion of chapter 12 developing a metaphor about the church being the body of Christ, with each member of the church representing a different part of the body, each with its own unique function, each different and yet indispensable. We'll get to more of chapter 12 in next week's reading, but I bring it in today because it speaks to something so deeply necessary when we talk about the good world that God has created. Diversity. God has made the world diverse on purpose. God has instilled within the beauty of creation a sense that it is the things that differ about us that make the world possible. The idea that we are each instilled with specific gifts that the world not only needs to see, but gifts that are vital to living into the fullness that God desires for us all. All vital, all necessary, all unique. And such uniqueness, then, requires us to broaden our understanding of what has value and what doesn't. Part of the metaphor that Paul will make next in chapter 12 is that you can't judge one part of the body using the criteria of another part. A lung will always make a pretty lousy foot, and vice versa. They are intrinsically different. Failure, then, to honor diversity in all the ways that it shows up is failure to honor what God has put into creation. Diversity and inclusion are key to understanding the kingdom of God. Being that it's MLK weekend, it's fitting to talk about diversity. It's fitting to put the idea of diversity within the context of our faith, something that Dr. King did time and time again in his powerful witness for racial justice and civil rights. To use religion, and specifically Christianity, as an exclusionary force is ultimately a much harder argument to make. In my reading of the scriptures, the powerful nature of God's unconditional love overcomes the things that divide us every time. And yet, as we know, there are many throughout history that are so deeply afraid of the realities of a diverse world that they stop at nothing to prevent those realities from being revealed. There's a story that I think about every year around MLK Day. It's from a 2001 episode of the radio show This American Life called Kid Logic. It begins with a dad talking about a time that he was driving in the car with his four-year-old daughter when she sees a crucifix out in front of a church around Christmas time. She starts asking questions about who that is and what this strange symbol is all about. The dad had been reading to his daughter about Jesus, so she was aware of the general story. He'd been talking to her about Jesus' teachings, what he stood for, the kinds of things he said. He taught her about the golden rule, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. But as she asked the question about the crucifix, the dad realized he'd never really gotten to the end of the story with Jesus' death. So he starts to tell his daughter about how Jesus died. He says that Jesus ran afoul of the Roman government. The message was just so radical and unnerving to the prevailing authorities of the time that they had to kill him. They came to the conclusion that he would have to die, that the message was too troublesome. It's a pretty good answer on the spot, I think, and it seemed to satisfy the daughter. And about a month or so later, MLK Day comes around, and the daughter's preschool is closed. And so the dad takes her out to lunch, and on the lunch counter, there's a local paper with pictures of Martin Luther King Jr. And the daughter starts asking questions about him. The dad says, well, that happens to be Martin Luther King, and he's the reason that you're not in school today. We're celebrating his birthday. This is the day we celebrate his life. And he goes on saying he was a preacher, but there were other things that he was really famous for, and it's that he had this message. And the daughter asks what the message was, and the dad is trying to figure out a way to say something a four-year-old can understand. So he says, well, he said you should treat everybody the same, no matter what they look like. The daughter thinks about it for a minute. And finally she says, well, that's what Jesus said. And the dad says, yeah, I guess it is. I never thought of it that way. It's like the golden rule. And the daughter thinks for a minute. She looks up at her dad, and she asks, did they kill him too? I remember the first time I heard that story, and it stopped me in my tracks. Some 25 years after this episode first aired, it's still haunting. A reminder of the difficult and often dangerous nature of following the faithful message of Jesus Christ, of the bravery and grit showed not just by Dr. King, but by all who fought for the message of love, hope, and justice found in the civil rights movement, a reminder of the sacrifice of so many in our nation's long simmering struggle for racial justice. Martin Luther King Jr. is on the Episcopal Church calendar of saints with his day of remembrance falling on the day of his martyrdom in April. He unfortunately joins a long list of people who have stood for God's world, God's message of love, and who the world has cut down. We remember some of those people on our calendar of saints each year, and if you looked at their lives, looked at the reason why they are counted among the saints, it's because they had the courage to stand in support of a part of God's world that wasn't being treated as the gift that it truly is. Recognizing and celebrating the diversity of God's world isn't just a laudable goal. It's a life and death matter. Just this week, my son was telling me on the car ride home that he had learned about Martin Luther King Jr. in his preschool class, and I flash back to this story immediately. I fully resonate with a parent trying their hardest to talk about the difficult realities of the world in a way that doesn't destroy their child's sense of optimism and beauty, and how often kids have a much deeper understanding of the world than we give them credit for. I thought later about what sort of voices my son is going to grow up with, what sort of role models he's going to encounter in his lifetime. I also thought about 1 Corinthians 12 because, well, it's my favorite. It's how I see the world. It's certainly how Paul sees the world, and we have the good hope that it's how Jesus sees the world too, a world where each person's gifts are vital to our common success, a world where diversity isn't a pejorative, but rather a sign that God's goodness is coming into focus. When I think about what sort of voices exist with that understanding of the world, I do find myself a little concerned. I will say for me, it's part of why I belong to a faith community like this one. I have always found the Episcopal Church to have a unique and distinct viewpoint on the life of faith, one that tries hard to incorporate a community filled with the diversity that God has created, one where diversity of thought, diversity of beliefs, diversity of identity are taken as part of the gifts we get to reconcile with, gifts we get to grow with. And I'm not saying we do it perfectly, but we are, at the very least, practicing the skill. And isn't that what Paul wants from his letters anyway? Like I said, Paul's letters are practical in nature. Paul is responding to something in the particular community he's writing to. We don't know what prompted Paul to talk about celebrating the gifts of the Spirit, of celebrating the beauty inherent in the body of Christ. But I don't think it would take much convincing to believe that the people of Corinth struggled in some way with their understanding of diversity. Paul doesn't chastise them, though. Rather, he celebrates what they should be doing. He shows by example. He draws them deeper into relationship and community, community that celebrates the unique gifts each person holds. We need to be in places that remind us of the beauty of God's creation. We need to be around people that celebrate who God has made each person to be. We need to be part of communities that lift up the voices of every member, recognizing that it is only when we succeed together that the body of Christ is truly working as intended. When you don't see such examples in the world, well, I have some news for you. You're going to have to create them. You're going to have to be that voice. You're going to have to share that incredible love out into the world. You walk in the footsteps of some truly incredible and amazing people who have done the same things, asked the same questions. Who will be the voice for God's world, God's people, God's creation? Who will rise against the injustice that so often seeks to divide? Who will celebrate the goodness that God has put into the world? It may just have to be you. Amen.